in the Sefer Tav Kuf Lamed Hei. Now, today, Rabbi Isai, we're going to return to a little bit to earth. Not that what we were learning is not within our reach. It's within our reach, but it's really a big, big madrega. We need to work on bitachon, on a madrega that we can begin with, and to understand that in the context of the story of Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik and so on. Now remember, we were learning the past few weeks the whole inyan of Chiv HaMetzias, Mechuyv HaMetzias, and Efshari HaMetzias, that the ultimate ideal bitachon is, I guess we could describe what I was talking about a little bit in the shiur yesterday that I gave to some of the chevra in DRS, that there's a way that we can call milamala lamata, from above to below. That means when a person is on that madrega that we've been talking about these past few weeks, where everything is elokus, where everything is God, he sees everything from that perspective of elokus, and that only Hashem is mechuyav hametzias. Only Hashem has to be, and always is, and was, and so on. Mashen can everything else that exists is just the Efshari HaMetzias. Now that's a very, very hard thing to live with. That's the tachlis, to come to such a madrega. And the avod of milamalu lamatu would say that we really need to reach a point of our awareness of God and feeling for Elokus that mimela we have bitachon, because there's nothing else to trust in. Nothing else really, really, truly exists. Everything is just Efshari HaMetzias. The only one who truly exists is God. So from that perspective, way, way high up on top of the mountain, bitachon is, I guess they would use the term now, it's not nice, but it's a no-brainer. It's the reality of what you're in. What's the problem? There's no challenge to that bitachon, because that bitachon is the natural consequence of your way of looking at things from on top of the mountain, that everything is God. So what else is there to trust in? Why else would you trust in anything else, since anything else is just Efshari HaMetzias? It's just a passing thing in the world. So of course you trust in Hashem. So from that perspective of milamala lamata, from on top of the mountain, the avoid of bitachon is not really an avoid. It's just the natural consequence of your hasaga of God, which is a clear, true hasaga, that everything is elokus, everything is God. Okay, beseder, but that's not, unfortunately, we haven't really gotten to the top of the mountain. So we're just crossing somewhere along the bottom, trying to scratch our way and crawl up the mountain. So we would call that milamata lamala, from below to above, from that perspective of down here in the world where we really get nervous about stuff. And even though theologically we're on board and we believe that everything is God, but b'shas ma'isa, when there's something that's scary, we get scared. We're afraid. We're afraid of the economy. We're afraid of the health. We're afraid. I had somebody that called me the other day about something, how on Long Island the wires on Long Island cause miscarriages, chalila, something like that. I mean, I'm not discounting that. I have no idea what that's about. But there are plenty of things to be afraid of. So we're at the bottom of the mountain, and we're trying to work our way up, and we don't have this hasaga of everything being God. We feel that it's up to us. It's up to the doctor. It's up to the economy, and so on. So that's where the avaida of bitachon really comes in. Yeah. Now, if we work hard on the avodah bitachon, that will help us to reach great levels of emunah, and it will help us to reach tremendous levels of a level of being aware of elokus. And so we could say that milamata lamala, that if we really, really work on this midah of bitachon, it'll help get us to the top of the mountain. It's one of the most important ways to get to the top of the mountain, and that's what we're going to be learning now. So let's begin. Nitzayin shezu avodah gedola v'kasha. Say that this is a very hard avodah. We'll be learning about it until now. It's a very hard avodah. Ubemes haderech lahagila kach yadei madrega nemucha yozeh shel bitachon. Now we would like to get to the top of the mountain where we feel that everything is God, but for people like us, we have to start at the bottom. We have to start at more of a typical madrega of bitachon that's within our reach. Shehi ha-ma'amatz lios boteach. We have to learn to make an effort to trust in Hashem. Even though we feel that there are many things that are out there that appear to us as very significant and sometimes very scary, we have to try to train ourselves and make this ma'amatz lios boteach. Al-af shehalev molech shoshos upchadim. That means even though our hearts are filled with all kinds of fear and suspicions and concerns and so on, we have to try to overcome the fears and afal pichein to connect to this midah of bitachon. Now that's the avoda of an average person. A person has to strengthen his heart to reach this madrega of bitachon. Al af shehalev atzmo einenu chosh es nochuchus Hashem. Despite the fact that the heart is not filled with this reality of God, despite the fact that we don't feel that everything is elokus, everything is Hashem, and only Hashem is mukhiv metzias, and everything else doesn't really, really, really exist. We don't feel that. So how can we trust in Hashem despite the fact that we don't feel that? The heart, davka, feels a need to rely on people or to rely on money and so on. And the person has to make a great effort to pull his heart away from relying upon all of these other options. He has to fight off the need to depend on all the other things of life, to try to trust in Hashem. The two types of bitachon that we're talking about, one is the avoda of bitachon. That's what we're talking about now, the avoda of bitachon. Vashniya, and the second that we've been talking about until now, so chronologically it's really the first, that's totsah. In other words, the result of really working on bitachon from that lower level of bitachon, the result of that ultimately can lead to the top of the mountain where we will mamish feel all the time that everything is Hashem. Behind the shemisha mole bedas elokim emes, as I explained a minute ago, that a person who's filled with this true knowledge that everything is God, hatotzahi, the natural result is shemimele yesh lo bitachon. Mimele, there's nothing else to trust in. This person's hasoga of elokus is very deep and it's very internalized. And therefore, he movilos alibitachon. Of course he trusts, it leads him naturally to a place of complete and total bitachon. On the other hand, hamadrega rishoni bitachon, the lower level of bitachon, the one we're talking about having to really, really struggle with all of the anxieties and fears. Hamadrega rishonu b'tochen ena totsah. It's not the result of something, but rather it's the avoda, la avoda. That's hard work. Elo, avoda doesn't come easy. It's not the consequence of anything. It's only going to happen if you work on it. El avoda sho ha'odam tzarech la'asos l'sa'amets. It's the avoda that the person has to do, and to make a tremendous effort, kedei liftach b'Hashem, in order to trust in Hashem, lamros pechodav uchshashayisa, despite the fact that he's afraid. He's got all kinds of anxieties and fears. And it would be much more comforting to him to rely upon money, people, and so on. Vaydekach, but by working hard on this, yuchal lizkos bez Hashem, the person will be zoicha, with God's help, lehiskadem, to make great progress, gam b'hasagas ha'elokus shabo, to climb the mountain, and to get closer to that ideal of really, really feeling God everywhere and all the time. B'schus hisamtzuso liftoach b'Hashem. B'schus of the effort that he makes, liftoach b'Hashem, to trust in Hashem. So that's really it. It's milamala lamata. That's what we've been talking about until now. And what we're learning now is milamata lamala. Okay. Therefore, from our perspective now, which is at the bottom of the mountain, the ikar hamivchat shall be talking about Hashem who b'shar she'ein la'odam amal hishayin. Dafke, the test of trusting in Hashem, do I trust in Hashem or do I not trust in Him, is dafke going to be at a time hamivchat shal b'shar she'ein la'odam amal hishayin. V'hainu b'shar sar, it's when I'm in trouble. When I'm in trouble, then that's the test. Who do I turn to when I'm in trouble? You could be the biggest Baal Bitochen. Look, if you're making a lot of money and everything's great and your wife and your children are always smiling and saying yes to everything and everything's gewaldig and your Ruchnis is going well and your Gashmis is going well, so it could be that you're calm, but Bemis, it's not really a big Chochma that you're not nervous, that you're not afraid. The fact that you feel great tranquility in your life at that time, it's not because you're trusting in God. You're just trusting on things continuing the way that they've been going. You're trusting that your wife will continue to be so wonderful to you, and the kids will be gewaldig, the best in the class, and that Obama's on his way out, and the economy's picking up, and so on and so forth. So you're not trusting Hashem. It's just things are good. So the fact that you're calm and you're in a good mood, could have nothing at all to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if there would be no God at all in your life, you could be just as much in a good mood and feeling relaxed. But Achlom Abnei Shabbatech B'Shem, Elom Nei Shesomech HaDvarim Zalosi Yisbaruch. You're just relying that everything else is going great, and why shouldn't it continue to go great? It's because you've replaced God with everything else, and everything else in your life seems to be a mechuyav hametzias. At least the day after the Garisha New Year, it seems to be mechuyav hametzias. And as long as it's mechuyav hametzias, why not smile? Why not be happy? La'ach mikain re'inu es derech ha'avod la'gil bitochen b'Hashem gam bizmani ha'atzlocha. Now, the test first, the first step is, who do you turn to? Beisara. Now, there's nothing when things are not working. The people you are relying upon can't help you. The doctor says, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do for you. And so on. Whatever that inyan is, what you normally rely upon can no longer be trusted. You can't rely upon that. And now you feel for the first time that you're sort of just hovering in midair. So that's going to be the bechina, that's going to be the test of who you turn to. Are you a boteach b'shem? Are you just boteach with all the efshari hametzias of your life? Now, once you begin by training yourself during that rough time of a test, you train yourself to turn to Hashem, over time you could begin to turn to Hashem or live with Hashem in that place of Elokus, even when things are great, even the time of Haslach, which is the top of the mountain. You could bring yourself to that from the bottom of the mountain. The most basic test of Bitachon is an Esar, a difficult time when everything else seems to have fallen apart, and the question, can you bring yourself to Hashem? Over time, you climb the mountain to a point where even when things are just great, you know that that has nothing to do with all the Afshari Hametzias that you're surrounded by, but it has to do only with Hashem. And your Bitochim Hashem is also Bismani Hatzlach. Page, from the photos, that's page 2. And the page is over here, Tavkuf Lamed Vav. Tavkuf Lamed Vav. Now we'll go back to Yaakov Avinu. What we're going to learn now is the Abarbanel's Pshat that he began with. Well, we began with the questions of the Abarbanel, and now we're going to get to the Abarbanel's Mahalach. I'm warning you, this is going to sound a little bit hard right now to accept. And when I learned it, I went over it like 3 or 4 times. So it takes some work. But over time and over the coming pages, we'll see how it really is something which is the pshat. It's really the pshat. So Noshim L'Nyaneinu, page 2, Atav Kof Lamed Vav. Im Adam Einu Marach Mammon. So we're going back to the beginning. If a person doesn't really care too much about money, it's not his thing. I mean, he could be very, very rich, but he just doesn't. He doesn't value money. It could be, as we spoke back then, that he just yashned it from somebody. He never really worked for the money, and it's not something that he values. So im Adam Einu Marach Mammon, or it could be the guy is just a batlam. He doesn't care about money because he's a schlepper. It's not an Indian in his life. So Ein Hu Nikra Nadiv. And we can't call such a person a nadvin, a generous person. It's not hard for him to part with money, because it doesn't mean that much to him. Either because he never had to work for it, or because there's something wrong with him, and he's a batlan, and easy come, easy go, whatever it is. But the bottom line is that we're talking about a guy who the fact that he gives money away doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the midah of being an adiv, of being a generous person. Or if you have a person that's enum afachid, either because he's not frightened, because he's a gibor, you know, he's a very, very tough, courageous person. And he doesn't get shaken up by stuff. So we don't really know. We don't really know in terms of the need of trusting in Hashem. We don't know. Well, let's say a person could be that he's a pachdan, that he does get frightened, but he's never had any problems. He's never had any tzara, any real serious tzara. So in all of these situations, Ein hu nikra b'tech b'Hashem, all of these people are not called Bali Bitachon. It's not called trusting in God when he's tranquil and calm. It's not what's the Chachma? He's not worried about these things, and it's not his personality. So the fact that he's calm, it's not because he has had any kind of a struggle, and that there's some sort of turbulence, and he had to grab onto Hashem's hand and pull himself up with Hashem and to climb out of that turbulence. No, he's b'chlal not turbulent. Either this guy's not, his nature is not to get nervous, or he couldn't care less about money, so someone comes to him, so he gives them money. It's not in his bitachon. Oy vey, what's going to happen to me? You have some people. I was a friend of mine who was telling me recently, he has a father that's, his mother's not alive, his mother's father's already very old, and over the years he's accumulated, Baruch Hashem, plenty of money. He mamish can't part. He's still handling to get something. We're talking about a person that's in his 90s. And he has plenty of money in the bank, and he's still handling. He won't get something that he needs for his comfort and convenience. He'll still get like a winter coat, and he'll handle and buy the cheapest thing instead of getting a normal winter coat. And my friend told me, he says to his father, seriously, daddy, like, you know, you could buy all the coats in the store, and it wouldn't even be, it would be nothing for you. He says, I can't, the $50, it stares me. The money, it stares me. Now, for a person like that, to give a nedava to tzedakah, and to give a nice contribution, that's an avaida. That's an avaida. You have another person, he doesn't have a thousandth of what this guy has. But he doesn't care about it. So when he asks for a nedava, he gives it away. So who's a b'tech b'Hashem? Again, we're talking about this aleph beis of b'tochim. We're talking about regular people like us. The aleph beis of b'tochim is always when there's a struggle. It's a fight. Your natural instincts are telling you, I must turn to others. I must turn to all of these efshari hametzias of my life for help. That's the beginning of bitachon. When instead of turning to your natural supporters, either emotional or outside of yourself, instead of turning to them, you turn to God. That's called bitachon. That's the beginning of the avodah bitachon. You have options, but you turn to Hashem. So kach koysef ha'barbanel al hisnahagus l'shel Yaakov. Now we come back to Yaakov Avinu and the barbanel's mahalach. Shehine Yaakov Avinu hayachazak ma'od. Now remember, we were a little bit upset, very upset about the fact that it seems to us when we read Chumash that Yaakov is getting all nervous when Esav is coming. Right? He's getting all nervous. And the Hashem promised me, and he's getting all nervous. So Vayir Ma'ariv VeYetzelo, it says in Pasuk that Vayir Ma'ariv VeYetzelo, he was very afraid. Now, it's hard for us to understand because it seems to be so out of sync with everything else we know about Yaakov Avinu. That was our question. So the Barmanel says, to begin with, I mean, we'll read the Lashon of the Barmanel in 5 minutes, but to begin with, in Metzias, Yaakov Avinu hayachazak ma'od, just in Metzias, Yaakov Avinu had nothing to be afraid of. He was an exceptionally powerful person. K'mo shiyodim anu mimayisev shagala l'sevim al piha be'er. Look, we remember Yaakov Avinu popping that boulder off of the Be'er and off of the well. And the way Chazal tells him, actually, like it was a pekak, like a little cork that you pull out of a bottle. He took this boulder, a whole bunch of all the shepherds over there couldn't move this thing. And Yaakov Avinu rolls it off the Be'er. So we're dealing with a person who has what appears to be, if not superhuman strength, then really, really, really strong human strength, but very strong. Not only Yaakov Avinu, we know that the Shvatim were tremendous Giborim. I mean, Shimon Levi, we don't need any rayas. So we see that they wiped out the whole, that Shimon Levi was 12 years old. They were just getting ready for the Bar Mitzvah. They were practicing the Haftarah. And at that point in their lives, they wiped out the whole city of Shechem. So you can ask, yeah, but they wiped out the city of Shechem because the people were in pain because they had a Bishmin. It's still pretty good. We're assuming that there were at least hundreds of people, there may be thousands of people, and they destroyed the entire city. Now keep in mind, Shimon and Levi were not the strongest of the Shvatim. Levi is himself a yeshiva bacher, and Shimon and Levi were not the strongest of the Shvatim. Kama shekosev Rashi. Rashi says, Eitzel Yosef, shaloka chamisha me'achav, ve'emidam l'fnei paro. That Rashi tells us later on in Bereishis that Yosef took five of his brothers and brought them over to meet Paro. He didn't want to bring the Giborim. He thought he brought the weakest, not to make too much of a rash. And he brought the weakest. And among the weakest was Shimon ben Levi. V'yodim anu heitiv es gvoroso ha'dira shal Yehud. Now, if you want to talk about the strongest of the Shvatim, then we would talk about Yehuda. V'af Yosef haya gibor chayil otzum. We also know that Yosef himself was a tremendous gibor, kama Yehud, like Yehuda, can move a medrashim. Chazal talk about this. V'yigash el of Yehuda, this was going to be the match of the, not of the century, the match of all time. Yehuda versus Yosef. This was the match of all time. If they were going to roll up their sleeves and fight it out, it was going to be the match of all time. So Shimon Levi were the smallest from the chaloshim. Yehuda and Yosef are giborim adirim. V'yachiyach soif al tchiloso, sh'yidua misoso shal Esav v'Rasha. Now, let's talk about what kind of a match would it have been between Esav and Yaakov. What would have been the match between Esav and Yaakov? Now, Esav, of course, we grew up with this picture of him being an Ish Yodea Tzayid, an Ish Soda, so we always imagined him to be the heavyweight, and Yaakov needed to be the featherweight. That's the way we pictured in our minds from the old coloring books. Kilo Esav was a big, powerful brute, and Yaakov was the guy that was getting the sand kicked in his face on the beach. That's the way we pictured it. But the emphasis is Yechiach Seifel Chiloso Sheyedua Misaso Shel Esav Harasha. We know how Esav died. Shahar Gai Chushim Ben Dan. Chushim Ben Dan who, you remember, was not able to, he was himself not able, he was a deaf mute. Hushim ben Dan killed Esau, b'maka achas orif es rosho, with one clap, he knocked off Esau's head. He knocked off his head with one clap. That's Hushim ben Dan. V'chein onu maitzim, k'shashashvatim nichnashu l'mitzrayim, and we also see that when the shvatim came into Mitzrayim, la'achash enimsa ha'gaviyah b'antochas b'nyamin, after the whole thing blew up and they found the goblet, the cup in Binyamin's bag. So it says, Kosuv v'yashuvu ha'ira. They went back to the city. They all went back to the city. Rashi Meir, the Mokum, Rashi points out right over there, Badua Michtal Mitzrayim ha'ira. Why does it say about Egypt? Usually says Mitzrayim, which is a big powerful country. Why does it say ha'ira? They like went back to the shtetl. Shubitu l'makom katan. It's already talking like a small kilo. It's a small place, a little town. Hello, he haisa ir hamalchus shel ma'atzama adira. We're talking about the capital city of the most powerful place in the world. What's ha'ira? Omazbir Rashi shekol hakrach hagodol hazeh. Rashi says that this whole big place like Mitzrayim, this whole big place Mitzrayim, haya beinam ki'ir ketanet, in the eyes of the brothers was like a little nothing. It was a joke, it was a galechta. Shem yichalim l'chasa b'kalus rabba. If they wanted to, they could wipe out the place very easily. Nimsa. Look, it's very clear. Shebnei Yaakov ha'yi gibor chayim ma'oid ma'oid. That the family of Yaakov, they were big giborim. L'chein be'emes Yaakov ha'yinu, meaning Yaakov ha'yinu himself was a gibor, and he was surrounded by children who were big, big giborim. We're not talking here about like we used to have when I went to school growing up, and we would go to get something to eat or to drink, and we'd cross over Hillside Avenue, and we would meet a bunch of dangerous looking thugs, and we were the guys in the yeshiva, and it was you know, even though there was a bunch of us and there were two or three of them, the odds didn't look good that we were going to pull through. That's not what it was like in Beis Yaakov. It just was not like that. Okay, the Emes Yaakov Avinu lechoshash klal me'esav v'hagiborim shlo. So let's get this straight. Yaakov and his family, his sons, were not worried at all about Esav and the Arba Meis Ish Imai and Esav's entire chevra. Yaakov was not worried about it. Bichlal, not worried. It looks like he was worried. So what's going on? Ella, Shirotza L'Torach B'Hashem Yisbarach Levado. Now here's the Abarbanel, says a big chiddush. Yaakov Avinu did not want to rely upon his muscles. He did not want to rely upon the physical strength of his sons. He did not want to engage in classic warfare. That's not what this was about. He could have. And if he would have relied upon himself and his sons, it would have been Yaakov wins. It's not even a Shaila. But that's not what Yaakov was looking for in his life. He wanted only to trust in God. Not to be samech at all on his karechas or the karechas of his children. Before we continue the next sentence, let me just remind you what the Svarim say. When Avraham Avinu came to the Akedah, so it says in Pasuk, Vayaras Hamakim Yerachuk, he saw the place from a distance. And the Svarim tell us that Hamakim is a hint to Hashem. Baruch Hamakim, Baruch Hu. You saw Hashem from a distance. Because for a person of Yaakov Avinu's Madrega, For him to go and to sacrifice his son was not a great accomplishment. I would like to think that people like us would be able to do that as well. But Vayaris Amokim Mirachok, something happened at that moment where it wasn't anymore that feeling of God being close. he saw God from a distance. Something happened. Either it was self-induced or it was induced from above. But Avraham Avinu did not have the strength that he had before. And he was in a place of fear and of darkness. And Afal Pichein, he went ahead with the Akedah. Similarly, over here, Yaakov Avinu did not want to be Samech on his physical strength or the strength of his children. V'lachein, therefore, let's continue. V'lachein, Hechnis atzmei l'tchusha tivis shachshash upachad. He brought himself into a world of natural fear, of being a typical average person in the world. Kadesh yuchal l'ftorach b'Hashem. He climbed out of his own skin. I know this is hard for us to hear. He climbed out of himself and the physical strength that in Yaakov's life could have easily passed as mechuyav hametzias. Of course we're going to kill this guy. This is a joke. We're going to wipe out all these guys. We're going to wipe out all of Esav's army. This is mom's a joke. Because our physical strength, after all, that's who we are. It's a mechuyav hametzias. The Rabbanan says, Yaakov b'shum oifen did not want to live that life. And therefore, he wanted to turn only to God, not to himself. He awakened himself and strengthened himself in Rochnias with this way of thinking, that the outcome of a war is not a matter of physical strength. You could be the strongest in the world, and you can get totally wiped out. It's not a matter of brawn, of strength. Shaloi l'gibor ma'amulchama. Shaloi l'gibor ma'amulchama. Kadesh l'yismach al atzmai. In order that he shouldn't trust on himself, and what seemed to be a mechuyav hametzias of his strength and his children's strength, he did not want that. He rejected that. Zu kavanas chazal. This is the meaning of the Medrash. Shekach darkam shel chasidim, what we learned earlier at the beginning of this sicha. Shekach darkam shel chasidim, shalom rosh sheyesh lam haftacha. The way of the chasidim is that even though they have a haftacha, even though they have a promise, now the promise could be directly from God, or the promise could be because they have all that they need to be successful. Even though they have a haftacha, in other words, either a divine promise or the situation is very promising. It's a very good situation. It's a joke. In this case, it was a complete joke. Yaakov and his sons, the Shvatim, against Esav and a couple of thugs. It wasn't a fair match. It was a joke. So, but the way of the Chassidim is Shalom Reish Shalom Haftacha. Even though they have something to rely upon, the promise. Again, either the promise coming from heaven itself, or the promise, because everything looks so promising and so easy and so simple, and because they could trust all of these Afshari Hametzias of their lives. In this case, it's physical strength. The Chassidim Einem Chadeilem Milios Yireim. They trust only on the Yireh Shemayim. Everything could fall apart in a second. So Kosof, nothing is a Mechuyav Hametzias. Nothing is a Mechuyav. It's only God. There's nothing. The fact that any one of my sons can go over to Esav and go ping and knock off his head, that's not a mechuyav hametzias. That's not the person I want to be, and that's not the way I'm raising my children. That's not it. Finally, the ikka ma'alosa shul ha'adam, the ikka ma'al of the persons of Ha'yaisi Yireh Elokim. We just said in davening, loy big v'rusas is yechbats. Hashem doesn't want you to have the gvura of the horse. Reitza Hashem es yireyav. Hashem wants you to fear him. Esem yachlam lechazdei. To long for his chesed, for his salvation, to know that he is the only mechuyav hametzias. That's what he's saying. Behind him, the she'ikim ha'alos ha'shul ha'odom will be yaisa yirei lakim. The ikim ha'alos of a person is to be a yirei lakim. To be God-fearing. V'nishon u'boiteach b'yizbarach. And to rely upon and to trust only in God. Lachen Yaakov Avinu, and therefore Yaakov Avinu, Hagam Shebechitzonius Nevesh Eilonu Malach Shoish, even though in Chitzonius, as far as this world is concerned, physically there's nothing for him to be afraid about, to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid, because this is a joke, it's not even a match. Oira Ba'atzmai, Yira Umetsuka, he awakened within himself a feeling of fear, achshash, that I'm in a mitzuka, that I'm in a dangerous situation, I'm in great danger, I need God. Because the way that the tzaddik lives is that every moment, really, really, it's only God. Because nothing else is a mechuyav hamitzias, only God. So he had to bring himself to a place, almost like being a regular, typical person, being an average person, where he puts down the Hercules, warrior stuff, and he has nothing but God. From this, that he's afraid of this threat. All of this is to be misura, to turn it away from everything else, and to be misurbi, be talking about Hashem, trusting in God. I want this explained. Shabemis Chalila Loimer Sheyakev Leibotach B'Hashem V'Hayim Misyari. Chalila. We're not allowed to say, like we see from different Chazals, and we saw that Yaakov was not afraid. The Be'etzim, he was not afraid. Yaakov wasn't afraid. Botach B'Hashem, he trusted in God. Chalila Mishayakav Loi Batach B'Hashem Hayim Misyar. Chalila to say such a thing. Yaakov is the model of Bitochim. We saw. He's the epitome of a Baal Bitochim. Elul HaHepach. Kol Ma She'Esorei Be'Yir V'Chshash. The whole reason we find that the Torah describes Ve'Yir Yaakov that there was fear was only Kedei L'Toch B'Hashem. Was to taste what that is. For that moment, the taste of the reality, the deepest reality, that Ben is, there is nothing. There's only God. And everything else that I'm trusting in, that's not real. That's all Efshar HaMetzias. Mimela, to feel a pachad, to feel afraid, am I worthy in God's eyes at this moment for salvation? Therefore, Yaakovinu left all the other things that he could have relied on. Here is his strength and his family's strength. Ad sheyigila deyira, and he brought himself to a place of poshet yira shemayim. Everything is about Hashem. Everything is yira shemayim. He felt afraid. There was a feeling of fear when he saw Esav coming. There was a feeling of vulnerability, because sof kol sof, as we learned, sof kol sof, it's all about Hashem. It's not about anything else that I could rely on. So he brought himself to that place. He dropped his natural promises, the natural promise of his own strength and his children's strength. He was misoira to trust only in God. And this yiras Hashem that he felt, not the yiras Hashem, the fear, the yira that he felt, the pachat that he felt, was a means to bring himself to a higher level of true bitachon in Hashem. Remember, true bitachon in Hashem. It's not true bitachon if you're a powerful warrior and your sons are the biggest warriors in the world, and there's some chevra coming to attack you. That's bitachon. What's bitachon? It's a joke. It's a joke. That's not true bitachon. True bitachon is you're afraid. You're afraid. You don't know where this is going to go. You can't rely upon your natural strength, your natural kishrinus, and Esa Einai El Hashem, may Ayin Yavai Ezri. I turn my eyes to you. Shekin Ein Bitochen Amiti, El Beshash Adam Nishan Al Hashem, Velo Davarachem. Because true Bitochen is only when you're relying on Hashem, not Velo Davarachem. The Yaakov Shebotach Bekoichos, the Koichos Banav Yaakov was very, very confident. Militarily, physically, he was very confident in his strength and his children. Vayitzarach kivyochel, therefore, what was needed here was Hayitzarach kivyochel hazniach es atzmo v'kerchayisav, to reject, to push away, to overcome, to ignore his own strength and the strength of his children. And to bring himself to a place of yira. It's what?
Completely counterintuitive.
Correct. That's the definition here. This is counterintuitive. I'll give you an example. That I've mentioned before over the years. I might have mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when we were first talking about the questions. Yeah, I think I did. That the after Rav, that it was Erev Purim, and he was holding some gold coins and looking at them with some fondness. And they were very surprised because the after Rav had no shaychus to money. He was like far from money. So somebody asked him, like, what's the... he looked so happy to hold a couple of gold coins. So the after Rav said that tomorrow's Purim, there's this huge mitzvah of Matanis Avyonim. I'm not machshev. No, I don't care about money. So I'm trying a little bit to give ma'ira a feeling of connection to the money, so that I could feel what it means to give up something to give to a poor person. Because the emes is, I couldn't care less. I give everything away to the poor person. It doesn't mean anything to me, money. So I want the money to mean something to me, so I could be a true nadvan, so I could force myself on some level to part with the money, to be generous. It's completely counterintuitive. Did they ever know? V'zoyis b'avosat mosu yevahayin u'mimenu ha'yochel is'atzem b'midas ha'bitochen. And now, he can be mis'atzem tokuf l'amazayin b'midas ha'bitochen. To strengthen himself with the midah of bitochen. V'hu ma'as sha'oimer. It says in Pasuk, Va'ata amarta heitev etiv imach. You told me, Hashem, Yaakov says to Hashem, you told me, it's going to be very good. You'll take care of me. Heitev etiv imach. The samti zaracha, and so on. Kafarat you, and you're going to give me a lot of kids, and everything's going to be great. So Yaakov is saying, Va'ata amarta heitev etiv imach, samti zarach. Vahaynu, shekoydam lachain, his oireli is yare. So, a moment before, he was ma'ir himself to be like almost a regular person, and to feel the pachad, the 400 warriors coming to me. They're coming here to fight. And to feel a sense of yira. And then the next thing is, he turns to Hashem, Hashem, I'm asking you, save me from my brother, from Esav. I'm afraid of him. He's going to kill me. Yeah, he's going to kill all of us. Va'az miyad hisayir l'vtach b'Hashem. Now, what do we see right after that? He's misayir. He turns to Kadosh Baruch Hu, part B, and he says b'derach tzal tefila. Va'ata amar tehetivi machu b'Hashem. But I am afraid now because there's nobody else, only you. And you, and as I'm afraid of Esav, I'm afraid because what if? And I can't rely upon my strength and my children. I can't, because that's not why I was created. So, va'at, now he dives into Hashem. Va'at amarta, you said, heitev etiv imach, it's a tefillah. Rabbi Shlomo, you made a promise to me. I'm asking you to take care of me, to watch over me. Ka'omer, as on the kudas, ha'ikronis shal dvarim elu, sha'avnu midivah barbanel. The main, he says, the Chalban says that the main nakuda here we're drawing from the Abarbanel, v'zulashanu. Now let's read some of the words of the Abarbanel. It's only a little piece, and the Abarbanel is very, very marach. It's a little piece. The Abarbanel says the following, Pochad Yaakov, Pachad Yaakov v'yiroso, the fear of Yaakov and his yira, his terror, whatever, lohayu michulshas emunoso, was not because of a weakness in faith. Ki bemes libo batoch b'Hashem. The truth is, his heart was filled with faith in Hashem. Avol yapachdo kiderech hagibor hamiti, his pachad, the fear, was like a gibor. Shebihi konsul l'melchama, that when he goes out into war, yifached mehamavis v'yagish b'sakana. For the moment, even though he's a gibor amiti, there is this there is a moment of terror that I might never see my kids again. I might never see my wife again. But self-called, he's a gibor, and he has this maila of gevura. So what happens? Yivaza b'chayim, he overcomes this, and he turns away from everything in the world, and all of life itself, and he chooses to go into the battlefield, even if it means, death. Anybody goes to war, the Abarbanel says, who thinks, this isn't really dangerous, nothing's going to happen to me. So the Abarbanel says, Leikar Gibor, that's not a Gibor. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. Well, what does he think? Let's say he goes to war, and let's say they gave him and a couple of guys the best, they gave him a new tank. They said, Chever, don't worry, this tank is gewaldig. It has all the latest up-to-date state-of-the-art equipment. It's fine. So these three or four guys go into the tank and say, hey, there's nothing to worry about. They're idiots. It doesn't make a difference if you're in the fanciest tank in the world. You're going to the battlefield, you can get blown up. So that's not called gevura. A gibor feels that terror. He feels the terror of the possibility of life ending. And he overcomes that terror. He overcomes that fear. And he pushes ahead. And he goes and he faces the Malach HaMavos. That's called a gibor. That's a gibor. The same way a person who gives tzedakah and money is meaningless to him, he couldn't care less about money. That's not called a generous person. It's not that he overcame his stinginess or some withholding of money, and he pushed himself over and he gave and he trusted in God that look, God is in charge of money, so I'll trust in God and I'll give this donation. No, he's just an idiot. He doesn't care about money. A real gibor is sad at the thought of dying. He's not some guy that goes off and is not afraid, doesn't care about it. All the movies we saw growing up about these giborim, the movies were misrepresenting the giborim, because the movies were giving us like these Rambos and these Supermen and all of that. They're not afraid of anything. Anyway, what was the problem with Superman? Unless somebody had kryptonite, and there wasn't much kryptonite around, even in those days. So what was Superman? What was the pachad b'chlal? He was a gibor. Superman was a gibor. What was the gibor? Nothing could happen to him. Or if a person's an idiot, and he goes into, and he's not afraid of anything, that's not called gibor. Gibor is there's a pachad mothers. What is a pachad mothers? V'im kol ze yivcha bo l'tzana maila. And despite it's not working. And despite the pachad mavos, despite the fear of death, he overcomes the pachad mavos, the gibor, he gives a shrai, and he goes out to war. And he fights, and he goes to war, but he's afraid. It's a total misrepresentation of all the old war movies and Tarzan and whatever. Ki'ilu does nothing. They're not afraid of anything. They like walk through the battlefield like, spitting out bullets. That's not true. That's not a normal. If there is such a thing, it's in the movies. And if there would be a person like that in real life, he's not normal. It's not normal. And if you want to say it's normal, he's not a gibor. A gibor is a pachad mavos, and he overcomes the pachad mavos. V'chein hoye inyan Yaakov. Abarbanel says this is the inyan of Yaakov Avinu. Kim hoye bilti yori mi Esav shiyargeyu. If he thought there's no possibility of getting killed by Esav. Not him, the arrogant Noshev Abanov, and there's no possibility of his wife and children getting killed by Esav. Would be a Yudav. Then it would be no Indian of his. There would be no Indian of Bitochen Bashem. There's no Indian of Bitochen. No, this is a joke. We could knock off these guys in a minute. This is a joke. This is Rambo. This is a joke. That's not called Bitochen Bashem. Or if you'd be going to him with the simple thought that well, our old dispute is over, and no question in my mind, Esav is going to be thrilled to meet me. We're old brothers and friends. It'll be fine. That's not what he thought. He thought is that my family and I are in grave danger. This whole world is an Efshari HaMetzias. We're in grave danger. And he could kill me. He can kill me. He can kill the family. I said, what do you mean he could kill you? What do you mean? You're much stronger than him. But that's not where he was. He chose not to be in that place. He chose to, again, it was completely counterintuitive, and he chose not to be in that place of Gvuras Hasus. Now Yaakov Avinu thought very deeply about how much this guy hates my guts, this guy Mamish hates my guts, and he's waiting all these years to get back and to kill me and to wipe out whatever I have to destroy my family. And he was thinking about this, and he began to feel a taste of fear. He began to feel some terror. And he even though he was emotionally, he felt a taste of terror, but he went into his seichel and he thought, and he was focused on what? On bitachon b'Hashem. Which took control of his emotions, his mind took control of his emotions. Which is the way a balmaila, a great person, behaves. You're afraid of dying, but you grab hold of yourself and you enter into the seichel and you mechazik yourself. He said, "What's the matter with me? I'm going to trust in Hashem. I'm not going to be afraid." This Amitz, and he was courageous and strengthened himself, meaning in Hashem. V'holach lekras achiv, and he went to do battle with his brother, with God's help, only because of Hashem. Zeh be'emes royli kare, that person be'emes is royli kare ma'amin b'nivosai u'batech b'yedu l'kav. He trusted in Hashem and Hashem's, and the prophecy that he had, that he's going to make him into a great nation. That was the trust that Yaakov Avinu had in Hashem. That's the Barbanel. Elohim divei harav ha-Barbanel. These are the words of the Barbanel. Umidvarav, and from what he says, on the Lamedim we learn, Shalamaisa Yaakov Avinu Achein Batach Basham. We learn that Lamaisa Yaakov Avinu trusted in Hashem. Achein Batach Basham. V'kol ma'ash on a royim b'tchila, it says in Pasuk, v'yir Yaakov, that Yaakov is afraid. That was his avoid in Bitochen. The avoid in Bitochen was to allow the normal, natural instincts of fear to take over. To allow those normal instincts of fear to take over. And to not, the chlal, to be in a place of there's no problem here. First of all, God gave us this promise. And besides that, we could wipe these people out in a second. To completely overcome that comfort and promise, and to be in a place of that moment of terror and fear, in order to teach us forever and ever, his children, and to give us a mafteach, a key to working on this midah bitachon. Bitachon means, even though I'm terrified, I'm going to turn to Hashem Baruch Hu and I'm going to move on with the battle. Because trusting in God is only when you are afraid. Ultimately, you could reach this highest madrega where the whole world is a galachta. That's the beginning. Yaakov is taking us on a journey, milamata lamala, and that's all Sefer Bereishis, is to teach us midas and derech eretz, how we could become great people. You don't drop into the world like Yaakov Avinu. We don't drop into the world like Shimon and Levi. There's nothing to be afraid of that. We drop into the world as regular people, and we're terrified. And Yaakov Avinu is our father, and he says, Kindlech, I was also afraid. I was afraid. And I turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're saying, but Zaidi, how could you have been afraid? You know, you're much stronger than Esav. There's nothing to be afraid of. So he's saying, what do you mean? I'm shmolly pachad. I wasn't in that place of confidence and everything. I was afraid. I was mamish afraid. But you didn't really have to be afraid. Listen, b'shas ma'isa, you know, you could have the best army and everything is givaldic. B'shas ma'isa, I was afraid. And that's the greatness of Yaakov Avinu, and this whole maisa of the bitachon of Yaakov teaching us lesson number one, milamata lamala in becoming bali bitachon. Le'emet Hashem, I trust in Hashem. I hope that next week at this time, my wife and I will be in mitzvah Hashem with the children in Yerushalayim. So for now, we'll stop here and we'll continue. Bez Hashem, the following Thursday we'll continue with Ein Havtocha LeTzadikim to get mamish into the union of Yaakov and Yosef and the avoid of and the malacha, the beautiful malacha of Bitachon B'Hashem. Shkoyach u'Mazal.